Okay, I'm ready. We got visitors too. I got to be nice. All righty. Preach the word. Amen.
Amen.
The difficulty of salvation. How about that? The difficulty of salvation. This is the 4th of July. Think about everything that's going on in the world. Think about everything that's going on. It's finally got two dry days in a row, and you know, the lakes and the golf courses and the baseball fields and the flea market. You got car shows. There's just a lot to do. I just thank God you guys come out to praise and worship the Lord.
Amen.
Let's look at Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28 through 32. And just preaching a series on Paul, Paul the standard. And I talk about Paul so much, I said, well, I'm going to preach on Paul. I want you guys to know a little bit more about him. I think it's important that we know about the man God used to write 13 books of the Bible. So in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and then with that in mind, the Apostle Paul is our model, just to really get an understanding of the difficulty of salvation, the difficulty of anybody being saved today. It's difficult. I'm not saying it was ever easy, but it's got to be more difficult now than ever before. And Paul, being prophetic, knew that. Listen to what he says in Acts 20 and 28 through 32. Paul says this. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Wow. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock.
Amen.
Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this great messenger and the person of Apostle Paul. Father, we pray right now that we will hear his word, and we will also remember that there's a need for preaching that warns us of the evil days that are approaching and are here. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of God, and he said something. He says something here, and I just want to, it's worth repeating, because a lot of times when you read the scripture, you study all week, you read the scriptures, and something just jump out at you that you really didn't pick up. And he said this to those who may say, well, Jesus ain't God, and God ain't Jesus. Jesus is two different people. Listen to what he says. He says this in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Now stay there. Which he purchased with his own blood. That's interesting because I didn't see that all week. I didn't see that. I seen it just there. God in the person of Jesus Christ, whom Paul said follow. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. When I looked at some of Christ's greatest messages, they were warning messages. I mean, they were warning messages. I mean, when Jesus came, he preached a message of warning. Pay attention. Beware. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the false teaching. Okay? Beware of it. How are you going to beware of it? Can't beware of it and be ignorant of it. You have to understand the things of God. And you have to handle the Word of God. Talked to Shana this morning. Are you handling the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you studying the Word of God like you studying for that permit? Which she got a 63 on the internet. Okay? Listen. I did give her about 4 wrong answers. Listen. Jesus preached a warning, beware the Pharisees. He says, persecutions, beware of them. He said, listen, they hated me. They're going to hate you. See, we run around here and we want everybody to like us. We just want to go anywhere we want to go. Everybody just love us. Not if you stand up for Jesus. He said, watch. The thief cometh only but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You have a real enemy. Jesus said, you got a real enemy. And I think about it when I think about the parents in here. As we train up our children, we can no longer expect the government or the school system or the daycare. Or anything. We got to train them up ourselves. Amen. We have to train them up ourselves. Amen. We do. I listen to Elmer Jr. Sr. And I said, I can't be here, Pastor. I got to go to Manhattan. I got to make sure I got to be with my son as he looks for a place, as he prepares for manhood. He going to be with his son. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. That's a great thing. He said, "What?" He said, beware of false prophets. Amen. Matthew 7:15, which come to you how? Sheep clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Not just wolves, but ravenous wolves. Sometimes I'm a wolf, I'm cool. I just had me a lamb and I'm just laying it down. Because most animals won't hunt unless they're hungry. So here's a ravenous wolf coming into God's house in sheep clothes. He warned of hell. He spoke of hell more than any other subject in the Word of God. And he's talking about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. And when the rich man got to hell, he knew one thing. There was no exercise. He understood the gospel. He knew the Word of God. See, people think, you can come to church and not go to hell. Hell is going to be full of churches. Full of Christians. God fears. It's going to be full of folks with the church. With their King James Bibles and their NIVs and their NTLs or NLTs. He talked about the rich fool. The snare of riches. He said to the fool this night. Called him a fool too. See? He said, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then when you look at the message of the cross, it's a warning message. And he said, Father, forgive them. The offer of forgiveness was hanging on the cross. The offer of forgiveness was hanging on the cross. He died to forgive us of our sins, and we can't get to heaven unless our sins are forgiven. So you can hold all them grudges as long as you want, but you won't take them grudges to heaven. Okay? And I was preaching to the young boys last week. I said to them, y'all sit up here, y'all come out here. Every Sunday I'm here. But let me tell you something. There will be no heartless felons. There will be no blood Crips, Latin Kings, disciples, Southside gangs, Eastside gangs in heaven.
Amen.
Okay? Won't be. So Paul, under that inspiration, he talks to his church. Now he's on his way to Rome to die for the gospel. And he's giving them their instructions as he departs. And in Acts 20 and 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. His first direction is to the ministers and to the leadership of the church. His first instruction is to us. Take heed, pay attention, be vigilant, pay attention to what you do and what you say and where you go and how you do things. Pay attention. But there's a whole lot of ministries that if you just name the name of the church. And folks, just that's where the brother worked down at JJC. Say he a minister at. He crazy. Stuff like that. Okay? And then they watch us. We sitting up here, we up here front, and we ministering, and we have to first take heed of ourselves.
Amen.
How we treat our worship, how we treat our praise, how we treat our wives, how we treat our children, how we, all that comes into play.
Yeah.
All that comes into play. And then he says on, and unto the flock, over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. We overseers. Our job is to make sure that the Word of God is true and it's pure and it's being preached and it's being preached in His power and in His authority, not our authority.
Amen.
And folks need to hear it. And again, I say this, the message isn't for unsaved folks.
Amen.
And see what the church has done and what a lot of ministries are doing, they're designing and gearing their message toward unsaved folks.
Amen.
That's never God's way. You know, and the message is for saved folks. And if unsaved folks walk in here, then he ought to hear the message to the saved folks and see the saved folks rejoicing and say, you know what, I want some of that.
Amen.
But we didn't sit here and preach to unsaved folks. I didn't sit here and preach the thug life and the gangster life and, you know, and quote Madea and Bernie Mac and the little short demon guy. Can't think of his name. Kevin Hart, all that. And then the unsaved folks come in here. Oh, your pastor's cool. We like him. No. The message is designed to be preached to folks who have a desire for it, have an appetite for it, have a love for it. And they are to be encouraged and empowered by it and to go back out in this crazy world.
Amen.
And it is crazy. Okay? I didn't say Jay-Z. I said it's crazy.
Amen.
Crazy. We have seen some crazy stuff just this week.
Mm-hmm.
And our job as overseers, whoever's up here preaching, whoever in Sunday school, you're an overseer. Okay? And our job is to feed the church of God. Feed the church. Listen. You can cook peas any way you want them. I'm not eating them. I hate peas. Okay? I hate peas. I hate them. Listen. You cannot feed someone who has no appetite for it. Okay? And the folks that come to church, and this is why I said the last couple weeks, but just to me, they've been wonderful weeks. Because it's a purifying. The church needs to be purified and God uses the world, He uses the Supreme Court, He uses the Congress, the Senate, He'll use whatever He takes to clean His church. I just applaud the decision. People say, you're crazy. I just applaud it. You'll find out who's real or not when you put them under the test.
Amen.
And that's a good thing. So I see here, he said, feed the church. And this is that great text that I've seen and I heard Claire, amen, in which he had purchased.
Amen.
Purchased. He purchased the church. How? What did he use to buy the church? His own blood. And that's the great message coming from Paul, because there was one time Paul was killing Christians for saying that God and Jesus was one. And now here's Paul saying that God purchased the church. How? With His own blood. That will get your head cut off. The Jews didn't want to hear. They picked up stones to kill Jesus because He said, I and my Father are one. And then he goes on to say, also, of your own selves. Now, here's two enemies that's going to confront the church. That's going to attack the church. And the church is under constant attack. Don't you ever believe it's not. If you're in here in another church, are we safe and cool? No. The church is constantly under attack. The real church. The real church is constantly under attack. Why? Because they preach the gospel. And people are likely to get saved. And I want to pay attention to this, because this is something really good coming out to us. Hopefully it's going to come out of here. Listen. He says, also of your own selves. I got to go back. For know this. Back to verse 29. For know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Mm-hmm. They can't wait to get in here. They can't wait to get in here. You know what? God called me. God called me. God called me. They got ministers everywhere. We got ministers everywhere. And I was like, wow. God called a lot of ministers. Okay? I mean, some of them come in here like with the grieving wolves. They grieving wolves. They hungry. A grieving wolf is hungry. He ain't grieving. He only grieves because he's hungry. He's not grieving because, I don't want to do this to the church. I don't want to go in here and take their little lambs and their little ewe lambs and, folks will sit there and say, you know what, Pastor, you don't invite a whole lot of churches over. You don't associate with all the ministers in Youngstown. Nope, don't. Just don't. And I love y'all. And I don't want to bring a grieving whoop in here. Well, you need to have some women preachers. Y'all need to speak in tongues. Y'all ain't saying, let's all speak in tongues. Y'all need to have some women preachers. Y'all need a high-powered homosexual musician. My people got enough problems in here. We dealing with enough stuff in here. I'd rather do with the straight radio. I know the radio's straight. I ain't got to worry about the radio hitting on one of my boys. I got a pedophile sign out there. You got pedophiles. You got almost 60 of them within 2 miles of this church. You have to preach a message, but you got to preach them out. Because, you can't let a pedophile come here and be comfortable. Amen. Chase them out. They know where to go. They know where they're welcome at. Everything ain't welcome in church. You see, this is the problem we have in church. Everybody welcome. Come on in. Come on in. Step right up. Step their hand. Step their hand. Step their hand. Listen, he said, not only will the grieving wolves come in, and it's the day, they're looking at the women and they're looking at the boys. So we don't know what they're coming here for now. It has changed. You have a handsome man coming here like, ooh, that pastor, he work out. Girls ain't got over issues. Ain't looking at the ladies, looking at the men. Look at that big, dark-skinned brother up there, the brown sweater on. This is your thing. Because it's just the way it is, the world we live in. It's messed up. And the ministers and the people of God, all of you have a responsibility to watch. Pastor, I don't know where you're getting that from. Listen. It's in the scripture. Look at Acts 2:16. And people say, well, this is not a verse that's promoting women preachers. Okay? Now I know the women preachers, I know some of y'all want to be preachers now. But this is not the verse to use. Acts 2:16 and 70 says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. What is the last days? The last days began when Jesus started speaking and walking this earth. He said, God said, or said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If you hear and you say you have the Spirit of God within you, that's your ticket. Okay, you're not getting to heaven without the Spirit of God. So you just like, you know, I'm on my way to yonder. Well, not if you don't have the Spirit of God. Okay? You ain't on your way nowhere. Okay? You at the hospital and you sitting there waiting for the elevator to go down. Okay? Listen. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, man and woman. What was the responsibility? And I know I got some folks in here. I know I got some women in here. And I got some men here to talk about Jesus. But I can call them up and we can talk about Jesus. Listen. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That don't mean preach. Okay? Well, tell folks about Jesus. At Walmart and all these, at Menards and Lowe's and Sam's Club. We need to be telling folks about Jesus. Some of y'all going to go to 4th of July parties today and picnics and you're going to be running around with folks that, you know, that don't know the Lord and drinking and cussing and smoking, talking to you about divorce, talking to you about fornication, talking to you about gambling and cussing and the price of cigarettes is crazy. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus because they need to hear. That's all they're saying. They said, listen, I need to hear. I'm crying out to you. Folks, you say you got the Spirit of God. You was in church on the 4th of July, or the 5th of July, and now you don't want to talk about Jesus when you leave church. Talk to the people about Jesus because the age of grace is running out. Time is short. Time is short. Oh, we don't think it is. We are there tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Not promise.
May very well be too late. So, you got enemies within, enemies without, and Paul is telling the church, therefore, because you got the enemies, watch and remember. Watch and remember. That is two words that really go together. Watch and remember. Get that down, Jill. Watch and remember. I know you get that. Okay? I know you hearing it. Watch. That means watch your life. Watch who you texting. Watch who you calling. Watch who you dating. Watch who you befriending. I hear people, I got 2,000 friends on Facebook. Listen. If you end up with one in life. Okay? You're doing real good. Okay? Watch and remember. Remember what? Remember the thing that your daddy has taught you, or your pastor, or your auntie, or your grandmother. Watch and remember. 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 What did Paul tell him? Remember. That in the space of 3 years, here Paul, at this church for 3 years, you know what he preached? And I know y'all get tired of it. I can look at some of y'all. Oh, he warning. Sound like the robot on Lost in Space. Warning. I know that. I'll tell you about that jet later, Jake. I know that's before your time. Therefore, watch. Remember that in the space of 3 years, I ceased. I never stopped. That's what that word ceased means. I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. With tears. And these two brothers, now see, that's all scripture. Now these two brothers get up and they going to tear up. The message is serious. The message is serious. When I hear Dave Bryant talking about his mother, and I think about my own dad who came to the Lord at 79. Came to the Lord at 79. 79 he came to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That little space of time. He came to the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, baby.
79, and I know David's praying that his mother comes to the Lord. And many of us got loved ones that, you know, we pray and they become to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can have y'all miracles. Y'all, you know what? If I lose a leg, and listen. No, I don't take me no miracle worker. Because I know I'm going to get a new leg. I don't worry about that leg. I know what I'm worried about? Your soul. I'm worried about your soul. That's the greatest miracle of all. When someone truly receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they understand that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave and is now sitting on the right hand of God. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's not a miracle. And somebody said, well, I'm going to get you out of purgatory. Listen, you might get you out of purgatory. Stay out of purgatory. Quicksand. Listen. Love your people. Don't tell me you love your people and you're not telling them about Jesus.
Amen.
Don't tell me that. That's a hateful love when you don't tell your loved ones about Jesus. Keep telling them. They get on their nerves. And they may hear it in a jail cell. You don't know. They may hear it in a hospital bed. You don't know. They may hear it in the back of an ambulance. You don't know. But you have a responsibility to warn them. And they don't want to be warned. That's why they stole Paul. That's why they killed Jesus. That's what Jesus, they're going to hate you. People don't want to be warned. Leave me alone. Keep your Jesus. Just keep making them yellow cakes and lemon cakes and stuff. You keep your Jesus. I'm taking shots. Okay. Don't be shaken in mind. A lot of folks are shaken. I can hear it, and I can hear it, and I talk to people, you know, and I work for the state. I'm a state chaplain. Some people are coming to me, you know, you might have to marry some homosexuals. Yep. That ought to be good. They got the right one. They asked me to do it. Okay? Because we're going to go to war.
Amen.
We going to go to war. Okay? And I only got to work another year and I can retire, so they won't pick me. They'll pick one of them young chaplains. I don't care. God will take care of me. David told me, David said, I've been young. Not this David. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. God's going to take care of me as long as I'm righteous. God's going to take care of me. I can stand on that. Okay? Stand on the promises of God. All right. I know I need to share and invited all the boys over last night to spend the night. I know I got a place to stay. She take them three jokers. Shake it in mind. Shake it. Don't be shaking in mind. Paul's talking to the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, now I beseech you, brother. Don't worry about what the Supreme Court is saying and what the LGBT. Don't worry about all that. They doing what they're supposed to do. And this is Paul writing 2,000 years ago. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us. Why? As that the day of Christ is at hand. Listen, the day of Christ is at hand. Ain't no use being shaken. God is saying these things are going to happen. Amen. Things are going to happen. This world is getting worse. Don't let nobody tell you it's getting better. You know, I listen to these politicians. Now they got about 30 Republicans running. And you got the Democrats. They all, it's going to get better. They lying.
Amen.
They are lying. And I always tell them, folks that I don't like to lie, be a politician. You know, folks buying this stuff, and they going millions of dollars. You know, I just would run for president. They listen to one of my sermons, and I'd be disqualified. I'd be worse than Donald Trump. But they getting donations, and there's some folks out there who probably send me some money. We want a crazy president. Radical. Kiss everything. Hate everybody. No, I don't hate everybody. Paul says this. Don't be so shaken. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come. I like that. For the day shall not come except there be a falling away first. Gotta be a falling away first. You know, folks just trying to pack the house, pack the house. Listen, I have this ESPN. This was the ESPN model. ESPN was in trouble several years ago. And so this pastor sent this out. I get all this crazy stuff. And he said, here's the ESPN model for falling attendance. Listen, there ain't no model for falling attendance. These are the last days. And there has to be a great falling away first. And folks are just lowering the standard, lowering the standard, lowering the standard. Everybody welcome. Everybody welcome because they got a budget to meet. Okay? So we didn't accept anything. Just come on in. Step right up. Come on in. Come on in. We got guys in the parking lot. You know, come on in to make a church. Come on in. We ain't preaching nothing. We will entertain you because we need people. We need money. We got budget. We got to pay these ministers, you know. And we got to pay the pastor. You know, he needs a $65 million jet. Ain't going nowhere. To a Laker game and to a Cavs game and, you know. He said, pastors, you want the solution. This is a business model now. First, the pastor has to admit declining attendance. It sounds like AAB. First thing you got to admit is, anyway, we got declining attendance. Well, I can look out here and see that. We do. Folks got money. Some folks sick. Some people got money. Okay, if I had more money, I'd probably take more Sundays off. I'm pastor broke, so I'm going to be here a whole lot. Have a budget meeting in a dress subpar ministry. Now this is serious. I can type this, print this off for you. Have a budget meeting in a dress subpar ministry. Well, you know what? You know what's the ministry that's keeping most people away from church? The Word of God. Okay? So we gotta cut that. Bring the smartest minds together. Have a meeting of the minds. That'd be a small meeting. No, I wouldn't know who to invite. I probably wouldn't be invited myself. Identify the problem. I'm not going to go through all this, but here's one that really stuck out. Pastors must be data-driven. Some stuff. This is stuff Elmer was learning up in Syracuse. Pastors must be data-driven. Why? This eliminates emotional attachments to poor-performing friends. Ain't that interesting? Oh, Lord, let me keep going. Listen, he talks to Timothy. I thought this was fascinating. Paul's giving Timothy advice. Man, Paul was a warner. He was a warning preacher. He just warned you, warned you, warned. Now, he's talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3. He says, Timothy, he says this. This, know also, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now I'm just going to stop right there. Because perilous times are right here today. Listen. We know about Charleston. 9 people. That don't even move my meter. Okay? And, you know, because I'm hardened. And if you you pick up the paper today, stuff don't even move you anymore. The media made that a sensationalized that. Because, you know, like I said, if it would have been a white man, that if it would have been a black man killed in the local church, it wouldn't have meant nothing. Okay? Brothers doing what brothers do. Listen, here's a man. Now, this happened in May. Some of y'all already forgot about it. Y'all already forgot about it. Y'all didn't even have a clue what I'm getting ready to say. But this happened in May. A man drove an airplane into a mountain with 150 people on board. And we read that in the paper. 150 people. And you guys mourn over that? Did the president go preach any of their funerals? Numerous schools and colleges, folks just get shot up. Serial killers in Cleveland. Y'all forgot about that already. How many folks? I'm Cleveland folks in here. Bodies under the brother's house. This is why I'm sitting here telling you young girls in here and you young boys. Watch and remember. Okay? I know some of y'all like Kit Kats. Don't let nobody come down the street. They got a Kit Kat. They got a Kit Kat. Get in the car. Watch and remember. Some of y'all will fall asleep. Y'all will fall asleep. Ah, this bald head preacher. There you go. Warning, warning, warning. Listen. Jasmine. Watch and remember. Elmer Jr. Sr. Watch and remember. You're going to Manhattan. Listen, I watched the news yesterday. They had 7,000 police in Manhattan. Because they worry about ISIS. They ain't telling you all that stuff. They ain't worried about somebody coming there and shooting one person. They worried about ISIS coming there and blowing up all of Manhattan. Watch and remember. Come on, I want to hear. Three girls locked in the basement of a man's house for 10 years. And the man that did it outside praying. Watch and remember. Listen, 2,266,000 folks in prison in America. Randy Woke? Amen. Ray? That's who they want. Young brother. Young and strong. You know? And do your crunches and work out. They got all kind of gym equipment at the prison because they don't want you to get sick. So they get their money out of you. This is big business. Watch and remember. Listen. Every day in America, almost 60 people are murdered every day. Every day. Almost 2 an hour. Every day. Watch and remember. Listen, drunk driving. I know some of y'all used to before y'all got delivered from alcohol. Drunk driving cost the United States of America $200 billion a year. Wow. So y'all think y'all think these $2-3 million beer commercials, they think that's a game? That's big business. They want you to drink. They want you to drink. And now, listen, they needed 305 signatures to put on the election poll to legalize marijuana in Ohio. They needed 305,000 signatures. You know how many they got? They added them up yesterday. You know how many they got? 695,000. Do the math. It's big business. You know, if I own a body shop, if I sold cars, you think I care how many accidents happen? Or if I was like the car rental place where Dave is spending all his money after the last few weeks? Legalize everything crazy. If I own a private prison, if me and Dave Dunlap, we own a private prison, you know, I'm gonna sign 200,000 to petition myself. I want marijuana legalized if I own a prison. I want it legalized. Why wouldn't I want it legalized? I'm trying to keep my prison full. You can't get no job. They gonna legalize marijuana, but they ain't legalized if you can't work for the state. You can't work for General Motors, can't work for Packard, can't work for Ford, can't work for a hospital. What are you going to legalize? If y'all going to smoke dope anyway, what you going to do? Fill the prisons. Rob and steal. Nobody. I can make this stuff up.
No.
Nobody want to hear it. America got more jails and prisons than they do colleges.
Wow.
Nice prisons. We used to bring the young boys out to the prison scare straight program. Bring them out there. They'd be 10, 11 years old. And they'd come out there and they'd see the brothers playing basketball. We play basketball all day. No, you only going to be out of your cell an hour a day. You're going to play basketball 10 minutes a day. But we don't tell them that. But they come out there and say, I want a basketball hoop. Oh, they might even call it LeBron Correctional Center. Oh my God. Somebody help. Somebody said it. My number said, y'all know how I am. Y'all know I'm pro-life. 58 million abortions in America since 1973. 58 million. So much for God saying go out and reproduce and populate the world. Well, we can't take care of all those kids. You can't. God can. He's making them. Right. We don't want to do that. You know, we got enough kids in children's services now. We got enough kids and they need to be adopted. Listen, God will take care of them. Quiet on that. I know I got a lot of Democrats in here and some pro-choice people. Oh, I'm going to get it. I might be over tonight, Sharon, just to sit in with y'all. Listen. Watch and remember. Listen, what is Satan's plan in all this? Now, somebody, you have to ask the question. You know, Satan is the author of confusion. So in perilous times, he is the author, but what is his mission? What is his sole mission? This is interesting. You need to get this if you don't get nothing else tonight. What is Satan's sole mission? He don't want the church. He got the church. You know what he wants to do? He wants to make it impossible for a lost soul to come to the house of God and be delivered and to be saved and to hear the word of God. He's compromised the church. He's compromised the pulpit. He's compromised the choir. And a lost soul come to church. What they saying? Same thing they seen on the streets. The same folks singing at the Elks and so-so's, they singing in the choir. And a person who's saved, who's been through some adversity, been going through a family wreck and problems and maybe been in a ugly divorce, come to church, see the same mess.
Amen.
See the same thing going on in the church. Deacon's hitting on the girls, and the pastor got a relationship, and the trustees messing with the...
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I remember a church in Youngstown. Because I'm from Youngstown. Ain't no secrets in Youngstown. Y'all know some stuff about me. Y'all just ain't telling me. So the man come to church, and he going through a divorce. The woman come to church, she going through a divorce. And a year later, the pastor married them. How's that work? Sound like a plan. Listen, Satan wants to destroy the church's ability to preach the gospel with power and authority. That's his idea. And I know I got a target on me. Okay? It is good, I know. Because the word of God said, let a man what? Take heed of himself. I know I do. Okay? And I know I struggle with the same temptations as the average man. Okay? And I go to the malls. I go work out at the gym. I see them girls come in there. They got things. I don't even know what they call them. They just train in their underwear. And I'm sitting here like, you training in your drawers. They call them soccer shorts. And I'm sitting here like, who let you out of the house? I couldn't bring Deacon Oliver here to work out with me. But you gotta see it. And then they doing stuff that, I mean, they got their soccer shorts on and they doing toe raises and toe touches and stuff. And I'm sitting here like, really? Do you know I'm a pastor? Oh, God. And you need to know that. Why? Because Paul says in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, self-love, and money. And when a lost soul comes to the church, they don't want to see folks in love with themselves. They want to see folks in love with God. And that's what they're supposed to see when they come to church. They ought to see a church that's on fire, and a church that loves the preaching of the gospel, and then they just see it. Because you don't know who's watching you at Walmart. You don't know who's watching you at Giant Eagle when you in Giant Eagle. Oh, that's the sister with the white hat on. They were doing communion. Cussing out the cashier. Come for watch. They will be boastful and proud and blasphemers. We got a lot of that. We got a lot of that. We got a lot of proud folks. In the church, a lot of proud folks. I get letters all the time. You know, Pastor Appreciation Day, Pastor Anniversary Day. You know, y'all know how I feel about that stuff. I got one the other day. You know, Pastor and First Lady sitting there looking all proud. What are you doing? What are you doing? Your members are going to jail and to prison, and the community around the church is just going underground, and you're not affecting lives. But we want to give you an appreciation day. Appreciate you for what? For just putting up with us. Maybe that's it. Putting up and not preaching the gospel. We give you, you know, we appreciate you not convicting us, not confronting us, not calling us out, not saying gambling is a sin and fornication is a sin and adultery is a sin and homosexuality. We appreciate a pastor like you.
Amen.
That don't say nothing. We're going to pay you to keep not saying nothing. This is what happened when my wife leave me and go out of town, leave me with the boys.
Amen.
We have a pastor that is he's a pastor of the Masonic Lodge, the grand chaplain of the Masonic Lodge of a whole state of Ohio, and he pastored a church. Now you tell me that you can be the pastor of a lodge, of the Masonic Lodge, and be the pastor of a church at the same time. I'm just sitting here like, okay. Pass you off the hook. Leave folk alone. You the pastor of a secret society. Well, if you say, if you tell what we do here, we'll cut your throat. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor of the lodge. I got issues with anybody that say they're a Christian and they was on to the Masonic Lodge. I'm just being honest with you. You know, I don't think you can do both of them. I don't think it's biblical.
Amen.
Okay. Now, you know, I know I get in trouble with that kind of stuff, but I'm in trouble already.
Amen.
Okay. Because the Word of God says perilous men that we must avoid. I'm in 2 Timothy. I hope y'all been with me. Thank you, Claire. You're a good member. Look at this. Because, see, the Word of God says there are people we must avoid, but if you don't have no knowledge, if the pastor ain't feeding you and ain't giving you the Word of God, you're not going to know who to avoid. You run headlong right over the cliff. Okay? This is why it's important that you hear the Word of God. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, now, verse number 8 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Now, as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, he's talking about men of God. He's talking about pastors and churches that are reprobate, have corrupt minds and resist the truth. What's the cost? What's the cost of resisting the truth? Well, 12 spies went into the promised land. Okay? Y'all stay with me. They went into the promised land and God had already told them, it's yours for the taking. Just start swinging and things will start happening. It'll be like Jake being in the ring and God said, hey, I'm knock him out. You just put blindfolds on. Just go in and start swinging. You'll connect. So all they had to do was go in. 12 spies came out. two of them. We can do this. God has already said we can do it. God's word is bond, and I'm ready to go. And the other 10 says, man, them giants over there, we like grasshoppers in their eyes. Who did they believe? Who did the people believe? They believed the 10. Now, the Bible said they weren't godless people. They weren't God haters. They weren't godless people. They just didn't believe the truth. They planned and they followed unbelief. And what happened? They all died in the wilderness. They all died in the wilderness other than the two, Joshua and Caleb. You know what we do? We need to avoid that kind of folks. You know, you ought to know a man is teaching error. You ought to know when a man is teaching error. You ought to know your preacher. You ought to know the pastor. And I've said it before. You got pastors throughout this country who don't believe the Bible. Don't believe the resurrection. Don't believe in the crucifixion. Don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. The pulpits are full of them. Paul said, you ought to know your pastors. And you ought to know their responsibilities. Because they're good watchmen and they're bad. Paul, Old Testament, Isaiah. I like this one. Isaiah 62:6. I got a few of them. I'm just going to read a couple. Because this is what you should be looking for in a pastor. And you ought to tell your folks that, your friends that are lost, they're looking for a church. Listen. And you should want a guy where you at, because why are you there? You shouldn't be here if you don't believe the word of God and you don't want to hear it. You shouldn't be here. Find your church where you're comfortable.
Amen.
Okay? But what Paul is saying, or what Isaiah is saying here in Isaiah 62:6, he says this, I have set watchmen upon the walls. Okay?
Yeah.
That's why I love these brothers around me. See, a lot of preachers don't like men around them. A lot of preachers don't. You don't go to the pastor's church now, all women preachers, all women ministers, all women witnesses. I don't want to be around all women. Okay? Cindy's enough. More than enough. Okay? I can't call any women up at 12 o'clock at night if I want to talk to them. Now, I can call Cooper. Hey, Cooper, what you doing? Let's go out. Let's go get a cup of coffee. I got something on my mind. I can't call another man's wife and do that. Preacher's getting shot. I call Lori. Hey, Lori, you know, I want to meet you at Dunkin' Donuts. Tell Dave, sleep tight.
That don't work.
No. See, the reason why he said watch me, because these guys watching me. And they hold me accountable. And they know when a message has been prepared, or if it's as Dave and Jake said, Saturday night special.
Uh-huh.
Okay? SNA. Saturday night, well, I don't know what I just said. It's Saturday night special. Because a lot of preachers don't want men to be accountable. You already know when your pastor prepares. Now, I've been here almost 6 years. I haven't preached the same message twice. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying it's a big book. There's a lot of sermons in here. But I'm studying. And I'm preparing. And Paul, in Isaiah 62 said, I have set watchmen upon the wall. O Jerusalem, which shall never. I like that one. Which shall never hold their peace day and night. You got cowards and cowards in the pulpit, scared to put a name on anything. Listen, this ain't for cowards. This ain't for cowards.
Amen.
Just for crazy folks. Seriously. Now people ask me all the time, let me tell you, find me. You find me. Five people, men or women, that God used in the Bible that was cowards. That wouldn't stand. You find them. You can't. Because everybody God used was willing to die for what they believe.
Amen.
And you look at the 12 apostles, they all died for what they believe. Listen, God is calling men to be watchmen, and they shall never hold their peace day and night. Listen, and you that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. So these brothers that say, okay, I've been called to preach, y'all gonna hear them. Y'all gonna hear them. And they're going to preach, and they're going to preach, and they're going to have some evening services. They're going to preach. I'm going to preach to these brothers. And I'm going to try to preach them out of this church. They ain't ready. Well, you need to be ready. You said you've been called to preach. I didn't have to. Listen, you're going to preach next week, or you're going to preach in 2 weeks. Be ready to preach. Because you have bad watchmen. You know, a bad watchman. Jeremiah said, here's a bad watchman in Jeremiah 6:17. He said, also I said, watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Wartime. Sound of the trumpet is wartime. You know what they said? But they said, we will not hearken. We don't want to go to war. We comfortable. Folks, listen, this ain't no place to come to be comfortable. Okay? I don't want you comfortable. I'd rather you be mad at me and hate my guts than be comfortable up in here.
Amen.
I do. I'd rather you be mad. I can't stand him. Always in my business. Always talking crazy. Listen. I'd rather you leave here like that than leave here. Man, that was a good message. I love that preacher. He's so nice. He's so sweet. I could be shacked up and living with my boyfriend and getting high and gambling every night and smoking and hanging out with folks and come to church. I'm just comfortable. I don't feel no pain. Y'all pastor's so loving. He making your pastor's a coward.
Amen.
Okay. Pastor's on the most wanted list. And you preaching, you ought to be somebody that want to kill you. They killed your mom. They killed your boss. You think you can follow the boss who they killed and you got no pain. No, that's a problem with that. But Paul says this. I'll stand. Paul said, I'll stand. You can follow me. And I'm going to close. I know y'all gave me a lot of time today. Y'all got y'all grills ready. Y'all got y'all steaks marinating and everything. Ribs, got the aluminum foil all ready. Wrap up some for the pastor. Paul said, be followers of me. See, we got a lot of people now, you know, Charles Barkley and them. They like, I don't want to be no role model. I don't want to be no role model. Okay? They say it. I'm not your kid's role model. Well, why are you selling them your jersey? Why are you wearing your tennis shoes? Why he trying to have a killer crossover like you? You don't want to be a role model. Because you out there getting DUIs and stuff. And you got a gambling addiction. And you got gambling debt. And you make a mockery of black people while you're on TV. So, you know, you always have your job. Paul said, follow me. He says this. He said, a man whose doctrine and manner of life is easily followed. That was Paul. Paul said, I was open book. I was open book. Shana coming there, Caitlin coming there, grabbed my phone this morning. And I said, well, you can grab my phone. And she said, I got, well, I don't know how it went. She said, you ain't got no private life. I said, you're right. Pastor's supposed to be transparent. Go ahead. Search my search engine and my history and make sure I ain't been going nowhere I ain't supposed to be going. That's accountability. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 3:17, he said, imitate me. He said, imitate me. Because there ain't a whole lot of folks to follow. Paul said, follow me. He said, brother, be followed together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. How about that? Paul said, follow me. I don't have a problem following. I don't have a problem following a man if he's following Christ. I can't follow a coward. I can't. I've been on my job and I have captains and lieutenants and they say, we're going to do this and that. Well, come on. They don't want to do nothing. Talk and rile up the inmates and then they gone and you standing there by yourself. Paul says this to the Corinthian church. He said, be ye followers of me even as I am also of Christ. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, and this is 1 Corinthians 4:17, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you, here's my word, into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church. Listen, I know it's first Sunday. What do we do in these last days? What do we do in these last days? We stand for the Lord. We open up our word and we stand for the Lord, and the word, God's word, explains all of it. How we all live in these end times. Because it's difficult. I'm not sitting here saying it's easy. It's difficult living in end times days, especially standing for the Lord in a hateful world. But you know what? God has called us to stand. Now, I think it's somewhere, whether it's a song, saying, after you've done all you can do, stand when you're going to be persecuted for your stand. And this is why the church has lost its effectiveness, it's lost its thought, it's lost its savior, because we don't stand for nothing. And now the LGBT can just come right in and command us to respect their same-sex marriage. But we laughed. We laughed at Medea and Ms. Doubtfire all them years. We laughed at it. Well, preacher in Chicago said, America's chickens come home to roost. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul being the standard, because he was a man's man. And he preached the gospel, even though he knew his head was going to be cut off, he knew he was going to suffer greatly. Because God told him on that Damascus road, God told Ananias, who was scared to death of Paul, he said, that man Paul is my chosen vessel, and he will suffer greatly for me. And I say this to any minister, any man of God, anybody that gets saved today, you're going to suffer. I'm not going to sit here and beg you and say you come to Jesus and everything going to be all right. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord, saved, if you come to the Lord, you're going to suffer. You are joining the suffering business. You're not joining the hooping and hollering business and the shouting and running all around the church and this praise time and all that. You join in the suffering business, because you're going to suffer if you stand. If you don't want to suffer, just sit in that chair and go on about your happy life. You'll suffer later. I'm going to suffer now and not later. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.